please, if you could have John 20 open in front of you, that would be wonderful. We're actually going to focus just on verses 19 to 23. So turn over to John 20, verse 19. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we've just sung of sitting in your presence, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with your goodness and lost in your love. And we ask that as we watch and wait and look to you now through your word, that you would come and speak to us, that you would open our eyes and that you would warm our hearts, that you'd show us more of your goodness and your love. And that by the end of our time together this evening, we would indeed be praising our Saviour all the day. We pray this for your glory. Amen.
Amen.
Easter Sunday has got to be one of the, if not the best day of the year, right? Jesus is alive. What a thing to be able to celebrate, as I'm sure you were doing this morning and you continue to do this evening. The resurrection. There are so many implications of the resurrection. So many fruits, things that flow as a result of the fact that Jesus really is alive. And there's so much we could talk about tonight. We're just going to narrow in on one particular aspect. I think these verses help us to see something of what the resurrection means in terms of our experience of the Lord Jesus. And this is something really wonderful, because what Jesus brings to his people is what so many of us are looking for. We've had a month of mission. Hopefully it will be a lifetime of mission. I think the reason that's in my head is because we've been part of a Passion for Life. I don't know if you know, Passion for Life is a nationwide kind of outreach with churches just like ours, and I think their tagline is a month of mission, a lifetime on something like that. It's obviously not very catchy, but anyway, we've been part of them, and this is, I think we've got a picture coming up. This is the question that we've been asking our church family. So the next one, here we go. Yeah, this is the question that we've been asking our community over the last few weeks. Do you ever feel like something's missing? I think lots of people would say yes they do. Maybe we do as well. We have this sense that there is something missing. We're searching for something. And what I want to suggest is that actually what we're searching for is found in the person of the Lord Jesus. And so my prayer for us this evening, if you don't yet know Jesus as your Saviour and your Lord and your friend, that what you see and hear tonight from Jesus would compel you so that you really want to know him, because he's wonderful. And if you do already know him, then my prayer is that because of what we hear and see tonight, you will want to know him even more, want to know him better, because he truly is wonderful. And what we see in these verses then is that the risen Lord Jesus, the reality of his presence with us, brings peace and joy. I think that's also up on the screen on the next slide there. The reality, I've given Mark, isn't it? I've given Mark the PowerPoint at the very last minute, and he's going to have to try and keep up with me, especially when it comes to a tricky diagram in a minute, but we'll get there when we get to it. Here's the main thing for tonight. The reality of Jesus' presence among us brings peace and joy. And that's very far from what the disciples were experiencing at the start of our passage. If we're starting there at verse 19, take a look there. We see that we are on that same day, so we're in the evening of Easter Sunday. So like we are here, the evening of Easter Sunday, the very first Easter Sunday. Earlier that day, they've discovered that the grave is empty. A little later, Mary has reported that she's seen the Lord, but it's still a pretty tense atmosphere. Take a look in verse 19. In fact, you can help me with this. How are they feeling in verse 19? how they're described? Fearful. Yes. They're in the middle of verse 19. They are fearful. And who are they fearful of?
Religious authorities.
Yeah, the religious authorities. It's there in our version here as the Jews, but it is the Jewish leaders that are in view here, really, the ones in positions of authority. And fair enough, really. Sometimes perhaps we think about these disciples as being a bit kind of cowardly, hiding away. But fair enough for them to be scared of these religious authorities, because they are powerful people in that particular community. They hold quite a lot of authority. Many Christians across the world today will be celebrating Easter in countries where the authorities are not happy about them meeting together, and so they can't do that openly, perhaps, or perhaps they're in locked rooms, or they're kind of secret, or they're fearful of being interrupted by the authorities. And that's kind of the atmosphere for these disciples on this first Easter Sunday. These are powerful people who are really against them. I mean, just a couple of days earlier, they'd murdered their leader. And when Jesus was arrested, these disciples had been there with them. Right? They were caught on CCTV. Their faces were known. And now the body has gone missing. Of course they're expecting somebody to come knocking. And yes, they've had run-ins with the Jewish leaders before, but this time's different, because this time they don't have Jesus. When Jesus was with them, it was all right. He would sort it out. But this time they don't have Jesus to make it all okay, and so they're fearful. You can see them there in verse 19. They're here with the doors shut or perhaps locked. The double doors are the doors are double locked. Even the curtains, they would all be shut. If it was us tonight, we'd have to lock that front door. We'd have to shut these things. Perhaps they were all kind of speaking in whispers, trying not to make too much noise. Maybe every sound was kind of making them jump. So can you imagine the shock as suddenly someone appears in the midst of them and says, "Peace be with you." It's Jesus. But like Mary said, he really has risen. And he stands among them and he says, "Peace be with you." You can imagine the disciples sort of check the front door. Now that's still locked, and we've closed all the windows and blocked off every other entrance, but Jesus has somehow appeared among us. What's going on? But he is real. He's definitely physical. This isn't just something that's in their heads, because we see in verse 20 that he shows them his hands and his sides, these scars that speak of sacrifice. Those scars in his hands where the nails had held him to the cross as he suffered and died in the place of sinners like me and you, taking on all of the punishment that we deserve so that we could be forgiven just by believing in him. Those scars that were signs of the peace with God that he had won for his people, so that they could know peace in his presence, so that he could appear to them and say, "Peace be with you." And this scar in his side where the soldiers had shoved that spear in, this wasn't a lookalike. Jesus hadn't somehow survived the cross. This was the very same man who had been confirmed dead, but now very much alive. In verse 20, the disciples, as they see him, it says the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And the word used there is the word that's used for joy. It's not just like, "Oh, I'm glad to see you." They were overjoyed when they saw Jesus. He is alive. These two things, peace and joy. Notice their circumstances haven't changed at all, but their experience has. Their circumstances haven't changed. They're still in this locked room. Outside are these religious authorities wanting to get the better of them. They were still very much in danger. In fact, very soon these disciples would feel some pretty bad persecution from these religious authorities. They're even killed by them. Their circumstances hadn't changed, but it's okay now because Jesus is here. Now it's all right because Jesus is with us. And the reality of Jesus' presence, when you know the reality that Jesus is with you, fear melts away. The reality of Jesus' presence among us brings peace and joy. And you know, this is just what Jesus had promised. So if you were to go back to chapter 14 and to chapter 16, Jesus had talked to his disciples already about coming and going. So here's where you have to keep up on the diagram, if you can, okay? So he said, firstly, he said, I'm going somewhere. I'm going to go away, but I will then come to you. And when I come to you, your grief will turn to what? To joy. I don't know if you can see that. It is there. Joy is there. These are the disciples here. Jesus says, I'm going away, but then I'm going to come to you, and your grief will turn to joy. And he says there, I've told you these things, that in me you may have peace. So here we go. We've got joy and we've got peace. Jesus is going, but he's going to come back, he says. This is what he promised before it happened. And you will have joy and peace. And then, just as he had promised, this had happened. Jesus had gone away. He'd gone away to the cross. So we go, we've got another one. There we go. He's gone away to the cross. That's happened. And now, as he's promised, he has come to them again. He has appeared to them after his resurrection. And he has brought them joy. Their grief has turned to joy. Their fear has melted into peace. So just as he had promised, the reality of Jesus' presence among his disciples has brought joy and peace. Which is all very wonderful for them, but here's where it gets exciting for us. Because actually what Jesus had promised in 14 and 16 was that he would bring his disciples joy and peace that did not depend on his physical presence with them. So in chapters 14 and 16, when Jesus said, I'm going away, he wasn't just talking about going to the cross. That was part of it. That was the first stage. But actually, there was another going. What did he say? He said, I'm going, I think we've got another thing. Here we go. I'm going to the Father. He's talking about his return to heaven after his death and his resurrection. Jesus was going to go away again. And yet he'd said to them, in chapter 16, verse 22, no one will take away your joy. And in 14, verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. So again, maybe you can't see them up here because it's quite pale, but we have got joy and peace here. And that sort of defeats the object. The whole point is that joy and peace is there. But hopefully you can imagine that if you can't see it. But you see how Jesus, he has said, I'm going to go and I'm going to come back to you. But then he said, actually, I'm going to bring you joy and peace. That doesn't depend on my physical presence with you. How is this possible? Because in chapter 14 and in chapter 16, as Jesus talks about all of this coming and going, when Jesus says, I will come to you, he's not just talking about his resurrection and his appearance to his disciples. That's part of it. But he's actually talking about the sending of the Holy Spirit. That's the context in chapter 14 and 16, when Jesus promises joy and peace that stays with them even after his return from heaven to heaven. Actually, when Jesus promises to send the Holy Spirit, he says, I will come to you. He's not saying, well, I'm just going to send a friend or someone I know and they'll look after you, don't worry. He's saying, I will come to you. Remember, it's the reality of Jesus' presence with us that brings joy and peace. And what Jesus promises in the sending of the Holy Spirit, in the person of the Holy Spirit, is nothing short of the reality of his presence with us. In fact, Jesus seems to have this second going and coming very much in mind here on Resurrection Sunday. When he'd met Mary earlier that day, the message that he'd sent to the disciples. Did you see that? It's right at the top of my page, if you've got the same one as me, at the end of verse 17. Think about this. So Mary has just seen Jesus for the first time after his resurrection. And Jesus is like, I've got a message for you to send to the disciples. Okay, here's the message. He could have chosen anything. And what does he choose to say to them? I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. See, straight away, as soon as he's risen again from the dead, he tells them, yeah, but I'm going away again. I want you to remember that, I'm going. So he highlights this second going, and then here, as he meets with them for the first time, what does he highlight? He highlights that second coming. Not his second coming, the sending of the Holy Spirit. Look in verse 22. You see, right at the beginning of this resurrection era, Jesus wants to remind his disciples of the going and the coming that would be here on the second part of the screen. Because it's in this way, that the disciples, those who experience the joy and peace in the physical presence of Jesus, that experience and that reality becomes available to all disciples, including us. Even on Easter Sunday evening, Jesus is pointing them beyond his physical presence, because the coming of the Spirit is crucial for what he's got lined up for them. So Jesus is ascending to heaven, and he's sending them on a mission. Verse 21, Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. They're going to continue the work that Jesus has started. And verse 22, when he had said this, he breathed on them and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Harking back to those promises he'd made before his death and resurrection, Jesus breathes out. And in the Bible, as you might know, that the idea of breath and wind and spirit are all very closely linked. Just as God breathes life into Adam's nostrils, now Jesus breathes and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, if you know your Bibles, maybe you're beginning to scratch your head. Why are you scratching your head? Because you're thinking, perhaps, hang on, weren't the disciples baptized in the Holy Spirit 7 weeks later at Pentecost? We read about that at Acts 2, the coming of the Spirit. So what's Jesus talking about? Is it happening now? Is it happening then? It's a bit confusing. Well, some take the view that Jesus really does impart the Holy Spirit here, and then what happens at Pentecost is a kind of fresh filling to empower them for mission. Almost like they were sprinkled here but saturated later. But many take this to be actually a kind of symbolic anticipation of what then actually happens later. A symbolic anticipation of what Jesus said he would do when he returned to the Father. So he's sort of flagging it up here and then fulfilling it at Pentecost. In which case you might say, well, why does he say anything at all? It's a bit confusing. But I wonder if here, on that first Easter Sunday evening, Jesus wants to point his disciples beyond this wonderful moment with him. Can you imagine being there that evening? Jesus is amongst us. He really is risen. There is joy and there is peace. And Jesus, yeah, that's all very well. But I want to tell you, I want to point you beyond today. I want to show you what's coming. He wants to remind them that his presence with them in that mission ahead would not be found in his physical presence among them, but in the person of the Holy Spirit that he sends to them. Now, whichever view you take, and there's a whole load of views, and it's all very technical why people take certain views, but whichever view you take on what's going on here, what's clear is the Holy Spirit is crucial for the mission, that Jesus sends the Holy Spirit, and that it's his Spirit. It is his breath, his Spirit. This is Jesus with us. The Holy Spirit, we worship a God who is three in one. One and three. It's hard to get our heads around. The Holy Spirit is not Jesus, but he is the Spirit of Jesus. And it's through the Holy Spirit that the risen Lord Jesus is personally present among us. Take a moment to just touch your hands for me. Can you touch your hands? Touch your hands, you can touch your side as well if you want. Are you here? You're here. You're physically here. You're physically here in the room. Now we today, obviously we no longer have Jesus physically amongst us. We no longer touch his hands and his side. But he is here just as really as we are here. Just as really as you and I are physically here. So we as God's people enjoy the real and actual presence of Jesus among us. This is one of the fruits of the resurrection. This is one of the blessings that flow to God's people as a result of that empty grave. And we know from the rest of the New Testament, this is not just for those disciples who were in that room on that evening. This is something that is a blessing for all of God's people. All who trust in Jesus are indwelt by the Spirit of Jesus. So for the disciples, this joy and peace in the presence of Jesus was not one night only while he was there in the room with them. Actually, Jesus would continue to be present with them by his Spirit, bringing joy, bringing peace. And actually, there's another part as well, isn't there? Bringing authority. Do you see that in verse 23? Jesus says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The presence of Jesus with us gives us authority as the community of Jesus followers to declare whether someone is guilty or forgiven in God's sight. Now, we know from the rest of Scripture that only God can forgive sins. And so it's not that the disciples can now do something to actually rid people of their guilt or rid people of their debt. But they are in a position to declare where someone stands with God based on how they respond to the message of Jesus. Again, this is something that Jesus had promised back in chapter 14 and chapter 16. In the sending of the Spirit, he promised that one of the things the Holy Spirit would do was to help the disciples to testify about him, to speak the message of him. And so these disciples and all of his disciples since have declared this message of the fact that we are sinners, that we have done what is wrong in God's sight, that we have rejected him, that we need the forgiveness of our sins from that perfect God who made us. And that the only way that we could be forgiven is through the sacrificial death of Jesus on our behalf, who died taking on our sins so that we could be forgiven, and he rose again in victory. The disciples went out and they declared this wonderful message. And as disciples of Jesus declare that truth of Jesus, the presence of Jesus with us gives us authority to say, this is the truth. We live in a culture where everyone is allowed their truth, and you can't tell me what is true and what is not. But the authority of Jesus with us, the presence of Jesus with us, gives us the authority to say, this is the truth. He says so. It's not just me making up some sort of message and, you know, take it or leave it. Jesus says this is the truth. This is Jesus speaking through us. It is his message, and therefore how you respond matters. If you believe in him, you'll be forgiven. If you don't believe in him, your guilt is retained. Your sin remains. That's the authority that we have because Jesus is with us. He is speaking through us. And so can you see what an awesome, weighty privilege this is? The reality of Jesus' presence among us brings peace and joy and authority in declaring the good news of Jesus. And this is what absolutely transforms these disciples. Right now, they're in this locked room. They're scared of the Jewish leaders in particular. And a few days, weeks later, we get to Acts chapter 4. And two of these disciples who are in that locked room, Peter and John, they're dragged out of prison and they're brought before, guess who? Those same Jewish leaders that they were so scared of. In fact, the high priest is there, a bunch of the high priest family, all of the really important, scary people that they were hiding away from, that had the authority to do them some damage, They'd just been in prison for it, and now they're dragged before these same people that they were so fearful of. But everything's changed. Now, instead of fear, what do we read? We read that Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit, and he begins to declare the good news of Jesus without fear, no matter what the consequences and despite the threats. And do you know what the Jewish leaders say when they see what's happened? They look at Peter and John and they say, these men have been with Jesus. And they were right. They had been with Jesus. And more than that, they were still with Jesus, because Jesus was with them by his Spirit. And these disciples, the ones who were cowered away, perhaps just sensibly hiding in this upper room, fearful of the Jewish leaders, if you read the rest of Acts, you'll see that they are totally transformed by the Holy Spirit. They are filled with joy and with peace and with boldness in declaring with authority the good news of Jesus. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus is really present with his people. And that reality of the risen Lord Jesus, when we know that reality, that brings joy and peace. I wonder, do you know that for yourself? I don't just mean, do you know that in theory, but do you know that? Do you know the reality and the joy of Jesus' presence with you? I'm not saying that the Christian life is always and only joy and peace. It's not. I'm not saying that we can judge our closeness with God based on feelings. But this is the fruit of the Spirit. This is what the presence of Jesus does bring. Have you tasted something of Jesus and the joy and the peace that is found in his presence? Can you say with Fanny, did you say this is Fanny Crosby, isn't it? The song we just sung. Is this language that chimes with you, or does it seem different from your relationship with the Lord? Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture burst on my sight. Angels descending. Bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Saviour am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. Can you actually sing, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Saviour all the day long? Do you know something of the joy and peace that is found in the presence of Jesus? I can tell you, he's wonderful. And there is nothing in the world that even comes close. The purity and the solidity and the goodness of Jesus is beyond description. Wouldn't you love to be able to really sing that song from the heart? Wouldn't you love to know him better? Wouldn't it be wonderful if, no matter what our circumstances, we just knew that Jesus is with us? And my circumstances might not have changed. I might still be in that locked room, and there might be scary people outside. My circumstances might not have changed, but it's okay. I know it's okay now because Jesus is with me. And there's peace, and the fears begin to melt away. Wouldn't it be wonderful if, no matter what the opposition or the obstacles, if we all had the boldness to proclaim the forgiveness of sins that is found in the name of Jesus, knowing that we have authority to do so because Jesus is with us? Wouldn't it be wonderful day by day if we lived more and more in step with the Spirit, knowing that peace and joy that comes with a nearness to him? This is the life that Jesus offers. This is the life that Jesus calls us into, more and more of him. This is the life that we receive by believing that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And by believing, we have life in his name. And I wonder if we sometimes undersell the life that Jesus brings. And we talk about, oh yeah, that means if you trust in Jesus, you're forgiven from your sins and you get to go to heaven. That's true. Praise God, we will be with Jesus. This eternal life certainly includes the eternal life of being physically in his presence when we will see him face to face, and all will be joy and peace because we will be with him forever. We look forward to that. But the life that Jesus brings is not just life forever. How does he define it in chapter 17? It's knowing the Father and the one that the Father sent. Knowing Jesus, life to the full, a life that is born of the Spirit, a life of enjoying the reality of the presence of Jesus among us. A life like Fanny Crosby sings about. This is the fruit of the resurrection. Because Jesus is alive, he is not absent. Because Jesus is alive, we can know the peace-bringing, joy-bringing, authority-giving reality of the presence of Jesus among his people. That's life. That's life to the full. It's kind of hard to describe it to those who haven't tasted it. But when you taste it, you see that Jesus was not lying. That is life to the full. If you feel like something's missing, come to Jesus and take hold of the life that is found in him. Let's bow our heads and we'll have a moment of quiet to respond to the Lord Jesus as he speaks to us through his word today, and then I'll pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise you for this wonderful Easter Sunday where we can celebrate the reality of our risen Saviour. We praise you for all that that means. We praise you that this means that our forgiveness is certain, that that sacrifice has been accepted. We praise you that it means that we will go to be with you forever in heaven if we are trusting in you. We praise you for the confidence that we have now to stand on truth and to declare that truth to others. And we praise you for this wonderful promise that all who repent of their sins and turn to Jesus will receive the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. That you, Lord God, come to make your home amongst your people. That you, Lord Jesus, have come to us and you dwell with us. Please would we know more and more of your beauty and your goodness day by day. For your glory. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to sing as we close. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. That's the reality. We are gathered together as God's people, and we are standing in the presence of Jesus. Well, you're sitting at the moment, but you're about to stand, and you'll be in the presence of Jesus. And so let's sing this wonderful song to him.
A sinner condemned and clean.
David wrote in Psalm 16, but really he was talking about Jesus. And in Jesus, this becomes true for us. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Lord Jesus, we praise you. Amen.
Amen.